All right, Barbara's finished. As the meeting has been alluding to a number of times, is we do need to look at the budget. Does everyone out there have a copy of the budget? Larry, did you get one? We do have up here.
There are actually three documents, two that I prepared and one that Shauna has prepared. So.
And remember that a budget is a bunch of figures, but those figures are something that we are trying to meet the needs of the ranch and work within boundaries, but it is not something that is held to a point that we cannot make flexible decisions and accommodate the needs of the ranch.
It's okay. Not like a city budget where it's a matter of law.
No.
It's just an Excel document.
Yes, sir. And I brought my computer so we can play with the numbers and total them up as we go, if you want to do that.
Now, the budget that Larry had put together, I don't know when this was, but it had to be before November 4th when he left. When Barbara and I went over it, there was only one thing that we asked him to change on here that we thought would be a little more friendly for us. He does have, if you'll look here, actual 2002, 2003, 2004, but on the old one, he didn't have something else included, which was the actual 2005 budget and the, what was it?
No, it was actually the used.
How much we actually used, and then what the budget was for 2005, and then compare it to 2006 and what we might need.
Which is what I've done on the sheet that's landscape, which you look at. I have put the 2005 budget, the 2005 year-to-date, the last numbers I had, which are a bit old, and then my suggestion for a budget, and then there's a column where we can scratch around and do some stuff, and then I've also broken it out by activity area.
So that way, we were thinking that when Barbara and I were doing it, we were flipping back and forth, well, what was the actual cost? What do we actually have to do? So thank you very much.
And then Shauna has prepared another document as well.
Shauna, do you have another copy of that? I think they just hand them all out.
What is that? Is
it right here. No, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shauna, Barb, Larry, if you could head up this information for us as we're going through it. Maybe there's an explanation that needs to be made in terms of what these expenses are.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
I'm over the treasury.
Okay, the one is DSR budget 2006. This is the one that we're looking at presently.
Okay, the reason, and I appreciate all the work that Larry went to, and Barbara, what they've done is, this is my interpretation. What they've done is they've gone through the past history, 2003, 2004, 2005. Anyway, we've taken what has already been expended. And I went through that whole thing, through the 3 years, and came up with some things because we wanted to break out into a capital improvement budget. So with the annual assessments, I feel like we need to stay within our assessments so we don't have to raise the assessments for any of our members. We should be able to budget in that, our maintenance MCs within that realm. As I went through this last budget, you guys probably don't have this, but this is for 2005. In November, this is as of November the 9th, we were over budget on almost every item. And that's the same thing that happened in 2004. And so what we needed to do was bring it in line, because what we've done is we funded these, because we sold the lot in 2003, assessments brought up in 2004, and then now we funded again in 2005 through the capital improvement to bring us in line so that we're still in the green. Still in the black, excuse me. So, as you look at the top on this, I went through each of these categories on the, so under assessments, and I tried to draw this out for you. if we have $395, 300 memberships, and everybody pays, I am going to say, as I would in my business, we may have a 10% that do not pay. That's just normally how it works. Some people don't get their in. So I put in a budget. So I might be a little bit low on the budget of $106,650. They have around $110. But regardless, we could probably, and maybe we'll get a little bit more. So that would just bring emergency expenses up a little bit. I expended out. I went through the expenditures that they already have, the categories that they've used, and I felt like auto expenses was a little bit high at $4,000 a year. We have had a lot of maintenance and stuff on some of these old vehicles, but I didn't change that. I left it because I don't know if we're going to get a better vehicle, but there are some ways that could actually be tightened up on there that I feel that we could do in the auto expenses. Cab maintenance.
Before you go much further, I had a question about the assessments. How many lots are you talking about?
300.
300.
At 395.
293.
293. Oh, that's right. Board members not paying. No. Well, I'm still lower than you guys at 10% off at 106,000, so I'm still figuring pretty low.
Maybe the board is among that 10%. You're saying.
Maybe there'll be four of our other 10%. Okay, but I'm just figuring a loss of a straight across 10%. Okay. So I'm still low compared to what you budgeted. Okay, so anyway, the expense, so the auto expenses, then the cab maintenance. How many, if we had 17 weeks straight, 17 weeks full of a cab, that's figuring kind of high, being totally full. At $20 a cabin.
$20 a week.
$20 a
cabin a week.
$20 a cabin per week, 17 weeks. No. Times 10 cabins.
Not 20.
$20 per cabin to clean it. Okay. Now following. Well, 17
cabin
weeks.
Cabin cleaning are two separate things.
I put them all in the same.
Cabin
maintenance.
Supplies would be the cleaning.
Well, let me explain. Okay. Cabin maintenance, it's 17 weeks. If we were full for 17 weeks, which is really high, and every one of them was full, and we had, and we paid $20 per cabin to clean them for 10 cabins, okay, that would be $3,400. Now, at my motel, I don't pay $20 per room to clean them. I understand that they have to travel from cabin to cabin, and that's going to take a little bit more, but you could actually pay somebody to do that.
Our cabin is equivalent to six motel rooms. Cabin seven is equivalent to
how many bathrooms do you in cabin?
Four.
In 10 cabins.
Four.
So it would be four.
Well, but you got all that kitchen area which you don't have in a motel room, and you got all that upstairs, two big upstairs rooms you don't have in a motel room. Cabin seven is equivalent to three rooms, basically. You know, if you go by the beds and the number of kitchens and stuff, I mean, kitchens and living room area is a big area. That's a more, you know, takes a lot longer than bathrooms.
I pay $5 a room. That's $20 more.
$15
more.
Oh, yeah, but, I'm
telling you what I pay. That's commercial. So if I pay $5 per room to clean, and you're trying, and we can't give them 20 per cabin.
I know. Hand pays a lot more than that.
Actually,
it doesn't compare
at all apples to apples, but most of the motels in town pay $3 a room.
That's right, about three.
Made stuff, but that's, I mean,
that's not their total cost. That's what they pay their person, but they've got all the supplies.
Okay, well, I'm not talking about supplies. Okay, the next thing comes in, cabin supplies. I still think it can be done for that. And then you got cabin supplies, you've got 10 cabins, at $10 of supplies per week. Now that's your toilet paper, dish soap, whatever.
Okay, there's a big problem here. Cabin maintenance has nothing to do with cleaning the cabin. Cabin maintenance is the roof, the doors, the windows, the flooring, the fixing the toilets, the screens on the windows, the faucets. Has nothing to do with the cleaning it. So we got a complete different thing here. Cabin supplies is the toilet paper and the sheets and the, you know, that kind of stuff that goes into the cabin. The cabin maintenance is the fixing of them. Neither one of these have anything to do with the cleaning of it. That's under your hiring.
Do we pay, don't we have a people at the ranch who do these cabins,
yeah,
who claim the cabins?
Yeah, but it's not cabin maintenance in our budget. It's under their salary.
Right, so the salary should pay for it. So do we need more than $20 a week? That's $80 a cabin.
Not nothing to do with cleaning it or whatever it is by fixing the roof.
Okay, let's say that whoever's managing the ranch cleans the cabin, then that goes under their fee, under their salary. Then what happens? Then a cabin maintenance shouldn't even have to be that much. At $20 a week, that's $80 a month to do maintenance like. You're talking about the screen, the windows.
$50.
You don't have to replace a fridge when. Those gas refrigerators.
I'm saying, how many 80s does it take to buy one refrigerator?
We don't need to buy a refrigerator.
You got three, you're going to have to buy this next year. I can guarantee you.
No, you can't, because I have a place that can repair them. They'll last forever.
No.
There are propane refrigerators, and you can get somebody who can repair those.
America
and don't have to.
Has asked us to get rid of all the old Revell has asked us. They will pay us $100 to get rid of those things. They're very dangerous. I have resisted it for 2 years now. I've just been getting rid of them when they finally quit.
We've been
repairing them as long as we possibly can.
I
can show you the paperwork on it, though.
The point is that we had budgeted $5,000 in this category and spent over $8,000 this year on maintaining the cabins.
One roof is past that.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the other observation is that the cabins are older. And older things require more attention.
However, I do think the cabins have been built up a lot in the last 7 years. You know,
I would
agree.
That's it.
I'll put that in a minute.
Okay, and that I think is the capital improvement for putting cabins on, putting new roofs on.
I'm with that because Val and I have this discussion.
Okay, capital improvement would be like building a place to house the laundry and have a large family reunion cookout. Something new. Replacing the roof is not a capital improvement.
You're probably correct on that.
If you're going to put a new redwood deck veranda onto the cabin, it would be a capital improvement.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but if we, yeah. And we do have metal roofs on all of them now, yet?
No. We've got three to go. Plus the ranch house.
Did you maybe want to run through this quickly, and then we can make the comparisons as to what you mean on yours,
sure.
If there need to be changes?
Sure. Okay, then I wanted to know. Well, we're trying to get it in budget because we have got to stay within our assessment. So if we put more back into the cabins, we've got to take it out somewhere else.
Or increase our income.
I mean, that's our whole thing. We're trying to stay within the assessed value.
We need to talk about the program before we can figure the skinny to the budget. For instance, our horse total income from the horses didn't pay for the maintenance of the horses, did it?
No. And we know that.
Okay, so if we could collect $10,000 from the horses next year, would that influence the cabin maintenance budget?
Do we want to put that in cabin maintenance, or do you want to put it in capital improvement?
It's not a capital improvement. It could be used as that, but it would take a vote to move it. The fellow says this. He says if you would set the budget on the horses to bring in $10,000 and hire a wrangler and pay him $5,000, then use an incentive basis. There's a $5,000 we're going to pay the wrangler, and then another $5,000 that we have to come up with to get to the $10,000. Cut the second $5,000 in half and pay it as a commission or an incentive to the wrangler. So the wrangler could end up with 700 or
75.
Yep, okay. And then we would have a $7,500 extra in our budget that we didn't last year. Everybody would win.
Well, except the numbers don't add up.
Yeah.
The horses cost us over $7,000.
Well, they cost us that whatever happens, don't they?
Well, it's $4,000 just for the insurance on them. Before we ever put a horse on a trail, it was paying over $4,000 for insurance.
But that didn't affect last year's budget or this year's budget. It's going to be the same.
Well, but I don't understand it. If you say we're going to make $10,000 and pay five of it to the Wrangler, we're losing money immediately because it costs us $8,000 in feed and veterinary feed and insurance.
But we're making nothing, yes.
Yeah, we made $2,000.
But we paid four or five in insurance.
We paid $7,900 out. We brought $2,000 in, so it's costing us $6,000. That's true.
Actually, it's more than that, because here you go. Here's your medical bills. Well, it was more than that this year, $1,700, but you look it up.
That's right.
So you have $4,000 out for insurance.
$4,200 for insurance.
Okay.
$1,700 for
and you got $2,500 for the tax and feed. Okay, so
right.
You add that in there. Plus you put in, so you're way over that. You're over
You're at $8,000.
Four, five, six, seven, eight.
You're at $8,000.
Almost 9 to 10.
Well, no, it's about $8,000.
So if we hire a Wrangler for $5,000,
so we're 13 now,
and we have somebody that's going to bond him and say, if he doesn't get more than $5,000 in income to the ranch to pay his own salary, I will make up the difference. It's not going to cost the ranch any difference. If we give him the incentive at anything you get, Mr. Wrangler, over your $5,000, you get to keep half of it. Okay?
Okay.
At the end of the year, we anticipate $10,000. To answer your question, coming from members and non-members.
That's what we're going to net after, above and beyond the...
Not net.
Okay.
We've still got these expenses. We had them last year and the year before and the year before.
Right, nothing coming in.
Okay.
Well, much.
The fellow that's going to put up the bond to ensure that this Wrangler gets paid wants the other half of anything over $5,000. If his program comes up with more than $5,000, he'll get half of whatever is over that. Not going to cost the ranch anything. But with the extra money that he gets back, the Wrangler gets half and this bondsman gets half, the bondsman is going to use that money to put in a new cattle guard and main entrance gate with the rocks and the big thing up on top of the sign and something that the architect draws up.
So if I'm understanding correctly, our expenses wouldn't change. We'd still have to pay for the insurance. We'd still have to pay for the feed and the veterinary bills. What we would be giving up is $2,000 in income because all of the income would now go to the Wrangler and the bondsman.
Well, but we're going to get it back in the form of a capital improvement on the main gate going in.
Okay, but we'd be giving up $2,000 in income. We'd be getting back a gate.
But there's also, wait a minute, think of this. Then Barbara, whoever's managing, can spend more time doing the other stuff instead of taking the horse ride. So that frees up their time to give us more besides that.
Yep.
That there?
Okay. And the cookies, where all this, where everybody's going to get money, you're going to get people off the street to come out the ranch and take rides?
The Wrangler will.
So what we're saying is we're going to approve a commercial operation on the ranch.
I think so.
And then what happens is that Wrangler is going through our property to produce the horse ride, and someone falls and breaks their neck, and now this person is not really associated with the ranch. They're a separate commercial operation. Who gets sued? I do? The ranch? Who does?
That's why we have the insurance.
That's what our insurance is for.
But it seems like the exposure would be greater because now we've got somebody else who's not associated with the ranch who's a non-profit.
No, he's got to be associated with the ranch. He's got to be a ranch Wrangler.
Well, who would that be? You have somebody mommy? And it just seems like it's kind of a grandiose thing.
Yeah, maybe it is a grandiose thing, but I believe that if we don't think about it, we'll never think about finding someone.
Okay, but you don't have anybody in mind.
There was discussion last May here as well. Taylor?
Last year we had a program figured out and just got voted down. We had a local wrangler that could take over the whole program. He'd furnish everything. He'd furnish the insurance, the horses, everything. And then what the ranch would do, we'd subsidize our own members to ride. If they wanted to ride, the ranch would actually subsidize part of his wages.
He would charge the non-members or anybody. He would charge every rider a $25 fee, you know, like what he does on Grand Canyon and Jacob Lake and everything. And then the money that we would be spending normally for $4,000 worth of interest, insurance, or horse deals or whatever, we would subsidize him.
To cover part of the membership.
And the board voted that down. Uh-huh.
We'd be losing. We'd still be going out of money, but we wouldn't be going out as much money. And something you got to consider as a board, the ranch has one usable horse on a regular day-to-day basis, one horse. They got another horse they can use on short rides and for kids. Other than that, the ranch has
horses all belong to other people.
And some of those horses that belong to other people have got to go. I mean, they can't. They're unusable.
I agree with him. I'm 100% sure some of them got to go.
Well, wouldn't it be good to have three or four wranglers put in a bid?
If you could find them. I had a really hard time talking to Justin to put them in the bid. And then whenever he did, you know, it was months and months, and he finally said, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to make no money. And obviously, he put the numbers together. He's got the experience. He's done it for many, many years, and he knew he wasn't going to make any money. But he figured, well, you know, I'll do it.
Anyway. That was tough. He wasn't helping
him. That was subsidizing him and everything. He figured he'd still do it, and then the board, you guys voted.
That was last May when it was brought up that.
What was the reasoning for the board in voting that down at the time?
They couldn't make any money.
My grandpa was going to make $10,000.
But we was going to save $3,000 or $4,000.
But he's never really made money.
No.
So they're not a money maker.
No. Well, that wasn't the purpose of that in the first place. The purpose of people were having the horse rides and the fishing and all that stuff was part of
experience
for the ranch. That was the whole purpose of it in the first place. Right, and that should be covered in your assessment due. That should all be taken care of. It isn't there for just.
The discussion at that meeting, had that man been hired and this program brought on board, it would make Barbara's time more applicable to the other needs of the ranch rather than also doing the wrangling. But it was...
At that point, we had a wrangler. It wasn't Barbara. We had Tony was out there doing it when we did this.
No,
this was just last year.
I attended this at the beginning when I did my contract.
All this was during... Okay.
This is when the Northern had come on.
I think something you have to consider too is when first I set up as part of the ranch, originally, there was no such thing as insurance.
No.
Liability insurance. Back then, it didn't have to have liability insurance. This has been, the last 10 years, maybe? 12 years, the insurance had to be in place. The section of the standards and that. That's a big
expense. Our whole programs have kind of changed and evolved, and the assessment and the things that I've got as a member of the ranch and with my fee was the benefit of horse ride, the benefit of trout fishing, the benefit of cabin stay, and now we're up to nearly $400 that I'm paying each year on my lot, and a lot of that money is going into road maintenance, cabin maintenance, and that's where I've had a heartburn all along of saying that our budget is based on our assessment, and really our assessment is, to me, we almost have to create three budgets or three funds, you know, a capital improvement fund, a ranch maintenance fund, and your normal assessment for your use, what you get as a member of the association, your privileges, the horse riding, the fishing, and those things. And it's hard, but it costs.
Justify.
It costs a lot of money to have a program like this.
Yeah, but you have to look at 20 years ago, 15 years ago, the roads were not maintained at all. What we have today is so much better. So, in a way, you do have to pay for something. And again, I've been on board when there were no assessment dues. Then
right.
It went to $50. So what we have now in value is so much more than what we ever had before. But the expenses of horses, the expenses of fishing, I think that should be something that is included as part of what your
assessments
are giving you. That's part of the experience of the ranch.
And we don't want to give that part up because that's
no.
What it's based on.
I think
and if it's making any money at all, that's better than no money coming in. And the programs were defeated last year, not wanting those types of programs. I'm on board with you in a way, though. I wish there were some way that we could have it so that we didn't have to put out as much money. You wouldn't make money, but again, that's part of the experience of the ranch.
I think there's a mix between kind of what Larry's saying. The ranch right now, today and the past 5 years, 10 years, whatever, has had a certain cost for our enjoyment of having horses at the ranch. Mm-hmm. Whatever program we come up with for this next year doesn't have to 100% cover and pay for that whole thing. We're already paying for it. We're paying for the insurance. We're paying for feed and tack and that stuff. Can we create a program? And one suggestion I had, I talked with my dad a little bit about, I spent 2 weeks in Montana on horseback with an outfitter that do trail rides in all, the, you know, in Yellowstone and other parks up there. And the one guy there was saying, hey, I'm going to New Mexico or Arizona next month because I'm tired of the snow. And I just kind of teased him and said, well, what are you looking for? What are you thinking of doing? And I don't know that he is a person that would do this or come here. I didn't talk with him any money or anything, but just ideas. Some of these guys that do, the Jeff Allens that do trail rides in a certain, we're in a bad location. I mean, it'd be perfect if you could find somebody that went somewhere else for the winter and did their horse rides in Arizona in the nice weather and then came here in the spring. Whatever. It didn't work really with Montana because it's the wrong time of year. But
for a program to be put on board, you need a little more consistency. Well, this person over here and this person over here, and is someone else going to show up here? Oh, no one's showing up. We need to look at a program in that manner, not just, well, let's do it that way.
I don't think we can just outsource it totally and say, let's hire an outfitter wrangler, they come in. Now it's the difference, and the fear comes in, well, okay, they're going to ride their trail rides across my property, they fall off, they break their neck, and I'm in trouble, or the ranch is in trouble. Whoever. I still think it needs to be a ranch program, but we may have the Mel Heaton or a guy like that that comes in and runs the wrangling part of it. I think the ranch, I mean, I think it's ridiculous that we only have one horse.
Me too.
You know, we shouldn't be borrowing other people's horses. That I think that opens us up to a lot of liability. And, you know, we should have a string of rideable horses.
You've got $15,000 to buy them?
Yeah.
Oh, we can get them. But
very bad.
We have to work on.
Okay, we got a few cows a few years ago, and they're making money, I believe. What's the deal with the horses? I see a lot of people around that have big strings of horses. They evidently make money off of them because they have a lot of horses they sell every year. I don't know whether it's even be feasible or even
yes,
to have. I think we ought to have our own cattle and not worry about someone else coming in using the range rights. Would horses be the same, working the same type of
They
know.
Would, but it's something that okay, Barbara Button and her family cannot run the horses, the cattle, the roads,
no,
the cabins, the change
the
bed.
The horses and the cows would make sufficient money to cover the expenses to have someone that just takes care of those, not the cabins or anything else, not interfering with what Barbara's doing, basically. It would be two separate things run by the board. I don't know. I mean, it's just something that's gone through my mind a time or two.
The cows don't take any time, you know.
They're pretty worried about no, but if you had somebody and could move them to the different areas, to the ranch, to the grass during the year, and
sure.
And, same thing? I don't know. But it's something that I think we ought to...
Well, I think that's why it was proposed last year, but it was not accepted by the board. If that's something the membership and the board is looking at as a feasible option, I don't think we can say today we're doing it. That's something that I think maybe we should do some sort of a committee, a group together, those that are interested and knowledgeable, and maybe present it for the following year. I mean, I don't think we're ready for the board.
I don't think you did today, no.
No.
But
I think that it was proposed before.
Whether it's feasible or not.
I agree with you. I thought it was a great idea last year. I hadn't, you know, I was sitting out in the audience going, well, how come this wasn't done and it was defeated?
It's a situation where you've got to be small enough that you can handle it all by yourself in-house, or big enough that it pays its way.
Mm-hmm.
You get in between, and it's too big and costly, but you're not making money, or you don't have enough staff to run what you've got. It would be nice at the ranch to have somebody that's full-time with horses, and we've got four or five wonderful mares, and they're producing colts, and we're raising them and training them, and we've got our own pack string and taking rides, but that's the whole operation.
Right now, there's not enough people on the ride horses that you can keep the wranglers going to kick off the ranch. There's not that much.
Fred? Expand a little bit on what Larry said here on cattle. If we'd had a crystal ball this year, we could make some good money on cattle because it's been a good year. Horses, it seems to me, is a personal thing for the ranch, for the atmosphere and things like that. They can be personal horses, as long as they're personal people at the ranch. And they can take care of their own horses, keep their own insurance, and get their own nose. We don't need to put rides out to the public. Let's consider putting some more cattle on the ranch and making money off of cattle by hiring one wrangler or one cowboy to take care of those cows on the ranch. We got the grass. It's a natural feed situation. Having taken the market, selling yearly, keep some calves, make a few dollars off of cattle ranch, which if this was a working cattle ranch. The horses can be just personal. So the people have their own enjoyment, they ride the horses when they want to, they can be kept there at the ranch, we could have one person just feeding them, etc. like that, but we don't need to make money off horses.
Okay, what?
We can make it off cattle, without having any of the liability of the insurance for horses.
Now, and I agree with that, because I see anything wrong with that, but I see that that should be under capital improvements, and that's why I've dumped it into capital improvements. We're going to get through this budget thing.
Yeah,
it'll be forever going on this. Sorry, because I agree with that.
I think the board should look into more on some cattle. We are a cattle ranch, and we have the natural grass, and if we go back into a wet cycle, we're going to be growing grass.
And that was just something else we talked to, I think the last meeting, concerning Brent Robinson actually having cattle on the land, whether or not we want to keep up with that or do our own or whatever. So those are some issues that...
Good thought.
Well, there's a foundation principle here that I think we need to understand and agree on before we can do the budget. And that is, in the past, we've taken the $400 annual assessment for maintenance, and we've used part of it for capital improvements. Is that right, Candy?
That's right. Okay.
That's right. Treasurer said yes.
Have we?
Because we never had a capital improvement fund before.
Yes.
It was established, I believe, in July.
We have a situation where we're collecting for maintenance for the cabins and headquarters and those kinds of things, keep up the horses and the fish. But we've been taking money to put gravel on the roads. It's more than the maintenance. Maintenance means to maintain. When you build it up, it should come from some other budget, and that's the capital improvement budget. If we're going to buy cattle, it needs to come from not the maintenance budget. It needs to come from some capital improvement budget.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
We need to create something that's funding the capital improvement.
So go back to the last page that I got you there. Let me show you on the capital improvements and tell me what you think. But I put the rental income off the buildings and things actually should go into the capital improvement. So that could go into maintenance fees for fixing up the cabins or doing the...
What are you looking at?
That last page of the... No, I'll turn your one over. You got upside down. Last page.
Right to me, no.
Last page, sorry.
Okay. Right here gives it away. Red Reservoir Construction.
That's right, repair. Now that's got to be maintenance.
Yeah, what's that doing
no,
here
wait,
under
what?
Capital improvements?
I'm just putting here.
That's why I didn't vote.
Okay. All I'm saying is go to there. And all these are suggestions that everybody said that need to be done. These are improvements that need to be done, whether it's maintenance, whether it's whatever. Those are only suggestions that I put down there. They don't have to be capital improvements. They don't have to do whatever. But that's why we're here, is to decide what things, because those are not all going to be capital improvements. We have to figure out what's going to be capital improvements, what things we're going to and prioritize them, so that when we have our capital, improvement budget, that we know what we're targeting, so that we have X amount of dollars. But if you do, like, cabin reservation fees, that kind of stuff, I don't know if you want to use it as a capital improvement. To do capital improvements, like putting porches out on the cabin, okay, those types of things, whatever, you know, or do we use that as maintenance fees? Do we use that as maintenance fees, or do we use it as capital? We have to decide.
The reservation fee should go into to pay somebody to keep up on reservations.
To maintain.
No, not necessarily. But the reservation fee is to pay for people to take reservations.
These are operating revenues for the most part, and they ought to be covering operating expenses.
I don't think you should use cabin maintenance or cabin reservation fees to put new roofs on the cabins.
The exception to that would be the raffle that you budgeted in 2000. I'm not sure what the motivation there was, because I don't.
It's just that they had it on there before for the other year, and I just put it in.
They didn't bring in any.
Well, not this year. They had it on. She had it on budgeted on the other budget. So I just put it in there, approximately 2000. So we were going to bring in maybe on there. None of these are set. We don't know how much we're going to get. We don't know how much the annual raffle or the livestock grazing income will be. That could go to all capital improvements. We could also, because you're using the grass and everything, so you can have, or the store. Your capital improvements would come from the store. If you have operating expense, but you still have to, you got to get the capital from someplace. Where are you going to get it from? From those investments that you're making to make the profits. The profits go into that. They don't go into the maintenance. The reason I split it this way is because your assessment should be taking care of all of our maintenance. If we can't maintain it with the assessment, these are unknown factors. We don't know how much these are going to make, do we? We don't know how much the raffle is going to bring in. We don't know how much reservation fees are going to bring in. We do not know what those are going to be. We can't exactly budget them when we have no idea what they're going to be. But we do know what the assessments are. And that's a maintenance fee, and that's what it was all about, was to stay within our budget. So if we stay in our budget here, then we can do the capital improvements or whatever we need to with this. Anything in excess would go maybe into your emergency fund. Something that happens, like we got blow out the tires, something that's going to happen that is not in our regular budget. Those types of things need to be budgeted.
Consider this. In other timeshares, and we're a timeshare, it costs about $500 a year for 1 week. We have 2 weeks. So the maintenance assessment should be $1,000. Okay? And it probably is, if you go back and figure it out. Because we've used over the past, and it's gone down recently, but we've used over the past to supplement and to subsidize the maintenance to keep the budget at $400 or $300 or $50 or whatever it was. We have used the cattle operation, land lease, so to say, grazing lease to
subsidize,
go into the maintenance.
Absolutely.
Now, if we're going to start a cattle company, somebody suggests let's get some more cattle. I think it's not such a bad idea, but you can't buy cattle out of the maintenance budget.
Exactly.
So each member, if the board votes this in and the members accept it, and we start a cattle company, it's going to be an investment to them. Okay, this first year, everybody's going to chip in $100, and we're going to buy 6 more heifers, or whatever the numbers are, you see. And at the end of the year, we're going to see what we get back. But there are going to be years
that we don't.
That we don't make any.
That's exactly right. But I feel that that needs to be in a capital improvements account. Those are unknown factors. But if we have stuff at sale at the store, we still have to purchase that merchandise to sell. And whatever we make over and above, it goes back into the same account. It's like it's investing. We're investing this money to build it up so that we can do those improvements that we want to do, you know, or borrow it for the maintenance if we have to. But so that we have that fund, and we only have that fund if these are successful.
Well, right now, our biggest asset is the grass, probably. And it's not bringing in very much. Our next biggest asset is probably the cabins. And it's not doing too hot. And maybe the next asset is the store or the horses or something. And they're not doing so hot. So some way, we need to present a program, come up with a program that will, whether it's commercialization or whatever, we need more income into these.
Well, Val, if you look at the things where we're making money, the aspects of our operation that are turning a profit, it's livestock and wildlife. That's where we make more than we spend. So the first question we ought to be asking is, can we do more of those things? Is there a way to expand the livestock? Is there a way to expand the wildlife operation?
Well, the livestock is a risk.
Sure.
And I think our members would need to understand that. Ask any rancher in town here, and it takes about $10,000 to subsidize his cattle operation every year.
You know, right now we're building up our little herd. We're building each year. We're building it up.
Mm-hmm. What is the number of the herd?
Well, about 11 mother cows now, and we'll have four more next year, five more next year. Because we've been keeping the heifer calves. But there's a certain point, though, I feel like that you can only fill that up to. Otherwise, you know, our drawback's the winter months. If you get we get 4 foot snow up there right now, we're going to be buying hay all winter. If it's the last few winters, even last winter, there's a lot of snow, but the snow kept melting down, and we got plenty of grass. We didn't have to subsidize them very much at all. But
and there's another side of that, too, is that right now, because Brent Robinson is running his cows on our ranch, he has a sweet shoot at his place, and he has the corral cattle to throw the cattle in to work on. We don't have a corral. We couldn't even catch our corral cattle in Brandon and do anything in our place right now. We don't have the equipment or the ability to do it. So if we did something like that, we have to put money into that, you know, which I still agree with Fred and you guys that these, you know, cattle, but like Taylor said, there's a fine balance there. I don't think this is just a simple, easy rule.
And the other thing you have to consider is problems in the past that we've had cattle going on to other lands and being fined by it. We need cattle guards.
We need fences. We need a lot of fence repair, a lot of things to take care of. You know, we need some water development system for their, you know, our whole water or something, you know, for their water catchment. There's just a lot of stuff that we need to do. I mean, yeah, it sounds good talking and we have made money on our calves.
We're making more money on our business. We're doing all the brands.
But everybody has to be aware that if you get too big in the cattle thing, you're going to suddenly have a huge expense there, too.
And we're a non-profit organization.
That's right.
And we can't be going into a big-time thing anyway. So if we do some, and so that we have, all we need is we're doing capital improvements that we don't have to dig out of our own pocket. That's sort of where we're at. We've got a fine line here.
There is more potential than livestock. There really is. I think
what kind of number? You're talking about maybe doubling, and we're still within a frame that we could work?
No. Llamas. Alpacas.
I have
Mr.
Schiff?
I'd just like to make 3 points. One, when I pay my assessment, I don't care if that money is labeled maintenance or capital improvement. It's what needs to be done at the ranch. So that's just accounting. You need to keep straight 3 books so you don't get caught. I don't really care what bucket you put it in. Number two, we use the cabins a lot. Proportionally for management, I think we get more use out of the cabins as much as any other member. And I can understand where somebody who's built their house out here feels they don't get pretty much for their assessment. I am more than willing to pay for the privilege of being out of that cabin. You know, it would be nice if we had some numbers, some ideas of what it costs us per week to run a cabin. I'm more than willing to pay for that. Now, non-members should pay a lot more. And that lot more money to what we could use for capital improvement. But I think, and the same with horses, that somebody who uses these, that's a wonderful experience to have, they should be part of the ranch. But a member who uses them, I think, would agree with me, a lot of people, that they're willing to pay for it. That takes the stress off someone who doesn't use camps, doesn't use horses. Let's get their roads out to their lot in good shape, you know? So,
thank you. I think that was excellent.
Let me ask one question with him. So are you saying you would be willing to pay the roughly $400 assessment plus some for cabin use in your situation?
And it costs $150
for the cabin.
I'm happy
right.
to pay that.
Okay. Barbara?
That, what Byron just said, is exactly the idea that the board had 2 years ago when they incorporated the reservation fee and when they did this.
And the horse fee.
And the horse fee. It was to just try to supplement our income for those that use the cabin to pay a little bit more. Rather than raising everybody's assessment across the board, it was just to try to make those that use the cabin pay a little bit more. And I'm telling you, there have been a few complaints, but the majority of people feel just like Byron said right there. I talk to them all the time. The majority of the people that understand the thing feel just like Byron said that.
Are you saying then, instead of saying $150, perhaps raising reservation fee?
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm just saying that was the idea behind
the same thing.
You know, I mean,
same thing.
We tried to keep it very reasonable so it wouldn't burn you too bad. You know, $25 is not $150, and it's not as hard. But yeah, I mean, there's those ideas. But I just want you to be aware. That's the exact reason the system is in place now. Was established.
The member shouldn't pay to clean the cabin that I use. Whatever I pay should at least pay for what it costs the ranch for me to pay the cabin. And I'd be willing to pay $2,000 more.
If they do that, now it's just like the timeshares that we belong to, okay? So if you have a timeshare, if you go in there and you're only there 3 days, they charge you a cleaning fee. So regardless, if you pay $35 extra to do a cleaning or whatever, that's what I'm saying. We could hire people to go out and take care of that thing. We have so much that you could probably put into in the budget, but because there's going to be some that can't, but you still need to have maybe a cleaning fee, whatever it is.
So
some people clean their own,
right.
And they do an excellent job.
Budget this year, but it's something I wanted to bring up to look for future years.
I think you need to keep that members cleaning it up in there.
Members do clean it a lot. They try to take care of it.
I think even if you had it, you know, I don't think you should have a cleaning fee. Otherwise, I don't think the members take as good as care of the cabin while they're staying there. They know they got to clean it when they leave, but while they're there, I think they take better care of it.
But the long, that's the cost. I mean, we don't do it long.
Well, the propane. Imagine
the propane for cost.
Imagine each week it's over $25 for the propane.
And then when someone says they're coming in for a cabin usage time, and Brent goes in and turns the propane on to keep it warm, and they don't show up 3 or 4 days later, and then leaves whenever, that's a lot of propane. And I think it's just respectful of who. The cabin you
well, no, how are they doing that? I don't think I've ever had one warmed when we went, but we had to go build a fire. I didn't know they were doing that.
we have to keep, it's been cold out there, Sean. In Kanab, it's a different temperature. We have to turn propane on in those cabins, the garden cabins, specifically in cabin C, to keep it from freezing. I had all the cabinets open. I had the propane heater running high, and if I hadn't have done that, I'd have to drain all the water. And then when they came, and I didn't know when they were going to come, then I'd have to go back in and restore everything. And so we had to turn the propane on, or we were going to freeze the line.
Do we have? And what cabins are we doing now?
In the garden cabin, cabin
six. Just to keep them open for Thanksgiving.
Just those two.
Because we've been criticized so badly for not keeping our cabins open for the November if you're not in holidays. So we kept six in the garden cabin open for Thanksgiving. The second is tomorrow's over with.
So maybe we need to charge them more if they come in the winter months?
No, I don't think so. You know, why should you try to do that? We're trying to be member friendly. You don't want to start charging for this or for that. It's just a problem that some people are not aware of.
And Byron, I think that some of the ideas are we have our land, we have the 2 weeks option, and it kind of, the basic principle of Deer Springs Ranch was that came with it. So to say to someone, well, pay $150 or $200, I mean, they may be at a point where they love it, but they want to use the 2 weeks. They can't afford it. So we always accept donations if anyone wants to contribute to it. But I don't know that it would be feasible to say we're going to have a flat amount of money.
You know what? That's fine. If I knew what my propane cost was, if I knew what my laundry cost was, if I knew what the ranch pays subsidizes for my equipment,
I'll make that donation, but I don't have any idea what the numbers are. So maybe if you could put that out,
we
could save that formal process.
Sure. It's around 2,500 a week, I think.
You know what? This week, with you and Cabin 7 and the year going, it's going to be a lot higher than if you were there in July, which is your license. So for me to set out a figure is almost impossible. And the same thing goes, you know, with the laundry. Some people ask for two or three special needs care a week, and others just use the whole thing, keep the whole week. So it's like very, very difficult to say. And we can always just come up with a wild guess. But that's exactly what it is.
Tell them enough to get the same sheets. When did you allow them to change them?
We don't have to be real rigid and formal and all that, but...
Well, I think we can do that. I think we can say, look, this is on average, this is what an average week costs in a cabin. Bigger cabins a little more, winter time's a little more, small, you know, but so we could calculate an average, just looking at the total cost and the number of weeks that are used and doing that quick division, you can get an average. And that may be useful for people to understand.
For donation purposes only, though, because you have people who absolutely can't do that. You know, they don't have it. They're trying to make the best use of the money they've got. They already paid it out.
Myron, if you want to just sign the check, we'll fill it in later.
We appreciate that.
Okay. I'm interested in that last page. Barbara, the ATV motorcycle race.
Which page?
I'm on the very last page.
Shauna.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's not every year either.
No, it's not.
It's every other year, every 3 years?
It's not on a regular basis at all. It was held in 99 and 2000, or 98 and 2000, and then it hasn't been held in...
Right, well, this is not an annual thing, so it's not really... on the Capital Improvement Fund isn't really... It's not really that's what I'm saying. It's not a set thing. None of these are going to be set because one year it'll be different. This might not make as much. This might make some. But it still has to be designated as, because that's what we're trying to do is split the sheets here. We're going, you know, using your assessments to try to stay in what we've already paid. And then having that capital improvement that will have that fund to do those improvements that we need, or borrow the money so we don't borrow from somebody else, or get interest off, or whatever, and we try not to hold it, not to dig into that any more than
we can. There's different ways we've had money coming in as income. But I think Larry was right in saying, as you view the things that really have made us money, and it is wildlife income with the tags being sold, is there anything that we want to propose in terms of increasing that? Is there something we could do with that for money income?
Larry, how stable is that going forward? Is that actually the revenue source is going to continue, the ability to sell that tag?
Yes. Yeah. The dollar amount is what's going to fluctuate, unless they completely change the program, which is always a possibility. But that's something that we have. My view on the wildlife and what I'm trying to put together with some other committee members is we've been getting basically, and in Deer Springs' case, it really is just free money from the state. We're not experiencing any crop damage. We're not being damaged by the deer. Other farmers are, you know, having their alfalfa eaten. We're not. So this has been a free money to us.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do something and increase that. They're really not even allowing other applications to come in for more ground or whatever. But this has just been simply on mule deer tag. There's the possibility, and very, very probable possibility of creating income at Deer Springs from elk. The elk are starting to move more and more down into our country. I don't know if any of you have seen them other than Fred and I. Mule deer, not just through that one tag sales, but also promoting and catering to maybe doing a little outfitting or guiding or using our location. I'd like to propose the use of Deer Springs for several different animals, and not necessarily that we're hunting our property, but it's the location. I mean, we're key to the higher country on the top of the Ponsonant Plateau and the low country. And so that's one of my battles on the Metal Canyon Road issue is, do I want it open? No. Do I want it open? Yes. No. Yes. Okay. But elk is a possibility. They do issue one or two elk permits to landowners. So it would be maybe once every 4 or 5 years we could have an elk permit that would generate revenue. The mule deer thing is going to be pretty much a certain amount every year. Turkeys is becoming more and more and more popular. I'm working with the National Wild Turkey Federation right now and doing a big banquet here in April. And we could do stuff at Deer Springs with turkeys and turkey hunters, and it would be during a time of year where very, very little use is happening at the ranch anyway.
November.
No. We're in a unit that does spring turkey hunting, so we're in April and May, and we're just starting to get into cabin usage and people at the ranch, depending on the weather, but usually it's May.
Right, it's Memorial Day for we
and so,
cabins.
Yeah, so we could do some things with guys, and you know, turkey hunting isn't, there's been a fear at Deer Springs about shooting rifles, and high-powered deer rifles, elk rifles, is one issue. Turkey hunting with a bow or with a shotgun, I mean, you can literally be across the street at Houston's restaurant and you're out of the danger zone from me being right here. So we could potentially have three or four areas.
With a rifle.
Yeah,
so that is something that you are looking into
yes,
in your committee.
Yeah,
okay.
And but we have...
Let me ask you this. Do we have to shoot them? Is there a way that we can...
Strangle them?
Give them
an axe. Is there a way that
there's
we can enhance
no.
wildlife and,
exactly.
and realize some increased revenue from simply observing?
Certainly.
Bird observers. There's bird watchers all over the place. You can
the wildlife, I mean, deer hunters, I mean, you're going to make one amount of money from one deer hunter who kills one deer. But you could make money from hundreds of members or others that are viewing wildlife, and that goes right back to things like the Red Reservoir. We've lost, you know, years ago, I don't know how many of you were around it when you'd see 100 deer in the meadow, or 150. And there's been times when I've counted 200 deer standing in the Red Reservoir. Why are they not there now? Well, because it's dirt, and they don't drink dirt. So simply by recreating those water sources, we're going to have more turkeys, more deer, more elk, more mountain lions, more bears. You know, and some people go, "Oh no, well, there's a lot more bears at Deer Springs than
that
most of them ever even think or know."
You know, this is all good. We got to get back to budget. I'm sorry, keep calling us back, but
well,
let me ask you that question real quick.
I think real fast on budget. There's very real possibility programs that can go to where wildlife would generate upwards of $25,000-$30,000 for the ranch at a very minimal impact. We've been taking deer tag money every year and we've been putting nothing, I mean it's been an income. We've never expended anything to improve it. I would like to, through the committees I'm trying to put together, is to come up with things where we could say, okay, we're going to generate this year for Deer Springs, DSROA, and it may start out at $5,000. And next year maybe we can go to $12,000 or $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. But it will have to be a trade-off to say, we need $2,000 worth of money to put in food plots, to put in hidden. It won't do us any good as members to create deer magnets and have the whole county of, you know, King County driving out there every day to watch our deer or poach them or kill them. That's not what I want. And I've done a lot of things at the ranch that are kind of secret and hidden just because I don't necessarily want
everybody
and their dog
mm-hmm.
to come out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can do those kind of things around where we can benefit from it and then on a select basis, profit from bringing someone in that wants to hunt turkey or hunt deer or whatever. That's where I'm going with it.
And there are other members interested. I got a very interesting phone call from Clyde Nixon concerning some of the same information using the association digits. Okay. And that's what we're going to direct him that way for you. I know we have to keep moving on this, but we have discussion, and this is important so that we can get a budget that's going to work for us.
Can I stop it? Can I go back here? Can I suggest saying, would you guys look at these lists? Tell me, but if you think it should go on the assessments, our income for the assessment income, because our budget income, or it should go on the capital improvements income. If you go building rental income, and they're saying, do we use that? Do I put it over here in the maintenance income, or do I put it over here in the capital income? That's what I'm trying to get to. So I need
there's
to know, as you list
clear.
Here.
I started going down this and writing maintenance, capital improvement, maintenance, capital
yeah,
improvement.
Yeah, well, that's on this part right here.
And some of those are split. Building, rental income, those buildings need to be maintained. And I think those buildings need to be improved. So we may have a percentage. Are we going to add a new pavilion? We need X number of dollars.
So we could maybe split the percentage on it?
There's a fundamental issue here that I think we're missing, and that is that a lot of the income sources that you have listed here have been built up over the years as a way of keeping the maintenance assessment low or lower. And so now to say, well, these we can siphon off and put into a capital improvement
only
fund.
If the maintenance...
You're only going to be able to do that if you raise the maintenance fee.
Then we don't want to.
We don't want to do that. But the reality is that our expenses total $125,000 a year.
But wait. No, if you go back and you skinny up and you come to where they should be in line, you can say, okay, well, it cost me this much this year and this much, and you keep adding to it. That's not reality. Reality is it costs $600 a year. Why does it cost $1,700 in 2 years? What's the purpose? Why do we have all the deficits? Maybe it just was a one-time thing. We don't average it in and keep increasing our maintenance.
Well, but if you look at the trend of the last 4 years and say, okay, what is the typical expenditure in each of these categories over the last 4 years, and you add up those typical expenditures, it's more than our assessments. So if you pull these amounts out of the operating revenue, you're going to have to increase the assessment.
Or well, I think part of what she's saying,
income,
and the reason is
forced income.
X project cost so much in 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. The price of fuel went up. The prices went up. Did it increase because the cost of living and everything went up, or did it increase because we're doing more?
And that's what I'm asking. Where did it come from? Why are we went from here to here? Was it because the fuel's more? Because we have propane, we have those types of things. We need to take a look at what you need to look at.
You've got more cabin reservations, more people actually in the cabins than they used to be. I.e., cost of fuel is up, and usage of fuel is more because.
But is that a fact? That's what I'm saying. We need to look at it and see. Is that really what's happening?
Okay,
but we need to go back to that and see what's happening.
Okay, and that's why what I thought to do.
And that's what I would
propose yours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do is go through Larry's that Barbara and I have actually looked at as well, and maybe some of those questions in those comparisons of years will help you come to some of those, well, what ifs and why. So if everyone will grab those two sheets. Which one do you want us to look at, Larry, first here?
Well, I think you need to have access to the one that's that goes this way on the page, titled Our Recent History,
mm-hmm.
So you can see what 02, 03, 04 actual were and you know what a fairly recent estimate of 05 is likely to be. And then the actual budget stuff I prepared on the other page, the other sheets that go this direction. And my reasoning was this, that there is a normal stream of revenue that comes from various activities, whether it be horses or tractor work or whatever. And that we have used a lot of those revenues to try to hold the assessments down. In addition to those revenues, though, there are one-time things that, like the motorcycle race that doesn't come along every year, that generates additional money. My suggestion would be that we take those one-time monies and make sure they end up in the capital improvement fund. Because first of all, you don't want to build a budget around those one-time monies, an operating budget, because you know they're not going to be there every year. So you've got a little extra money, then let's push it over into the capital improvement fund. So, for example, if you look on the long page, we had $1,000 budgeted in building facilities rental income. We actually brought in something over $7,000 this year. But I'm only suggesting we budget $1,500 for next year. If we get something close to $7,000, put it in capital improvement.
You have a thousand.
So your suggestion would be...
Did you change the 15?
No, you're looking at the wrong sheet.
Oh.
There's sideways for budget.
Okay, sorry.
So your proposal would be we budget this next year, let's say $1,500.
Right.
Which is $500 over the 2005 budget.
Right.
But it's more consistent.
But 2003 was only 565, and
yeah,
only 13,004, and 1,100. So 15, this was just a one big time shot that happened. I don't know if we can budget more than actually, see, we didn't really bring it in all the other 2 years, quite 15.
Well, but that's, I mean, that's a reasonable question to ask. Are we likely to hit
15? If you're going to average, I would average $1,000.
I'm not averaging.
Don't know what that
I'm not averaging, though. I'm just looking at the trend and saying, okay.
Well, if you take 2003 out of the equation, because it's kind of it looks to me like a fluke low, and maybe 2005 is a fluke high, but you've got 1,100, 1,375.
Mm-hmm. So you should go $1,200, $1,300.
So we put in 15, and then next year, let's say we do 5,000 or 7,000 again. Your proposal is that the 4,500 excess
goes into capital improvements.
Goes into capital improvements to cover the emergencies that came up.
Yeah. So that's the kind of logic that I was using to put these things together. I didn't feel comfortable trying to capture any of these revenue streams completely because our expenses are higher than that, and have been historically. The donations, of course, I'm assuming that's
capital improvement
kind of stuff, because that obviously water system pledges, those are capital improvement kinds of things as well. So I didn't budget any. This is just the operating budget, not the capital improvement budget. Okay, so that's on the income, using that kind of a strategy. We're going to take in this year something on the order of $145,000, $150,000, but I'm suggesting that we budget just under $130,000, which is more than what Shauna shows, but I think it's more realistic in terms of the alignment with our actual expenses. So if you look at page 2, this is where the expenses start coming in. And again, what I was attempting to do here was to say, let's look over the past 2 or 3 years, see what a relatively typical expenditure level has been, and budget based on that. So, things like there's no new water system in here. We already spent that money. That's not a typical kind of thing for us to do.
But it will have a maintenance fee that we don't have in here.
Yeah, there are maintenance fees in here for it.
A water maintenance?
Right. Yeah, there are maintenance fees.
Did I miss it?
System maintenance and repair, $750.
Last page. Oh, okay, gotcha. That's for the water. Okay,
all right. So, there are things like the tractor and grader repair, which is in the middle of this page 2 there. We had budgeted $1,500. We spent almost $4,500. So, I think that's unusual, though. And I'm hoping that that $2,600 budget is more realistic. Now, that's more than than we had budgeted in 2005, but it's a lot less than we actually spent.
Well, it was kind of a really high year last year. We had a lot of problems that came up, and hopefully we're not doing that again.
Well, again, I think this year was kind of a catch-up year. There were existing problems.
Yeah,
I mean,
we replaced 3 grader tires.
Okay.
And 2 tractor tires. 3 rear tractor tires. And you know what? We bought all those equipment used. And we haven't, like Larry said, we haven't bought tires in the past. And suddenly this year, it caught up with us.
But that's a fluke thing. So it's not going to happen probably every 3 years. Probably.
Yeah, but a nice thing is allowing the membership to know and who have contact with others. Joe went and contacted people in Vegas, and instead of $395, he was going to get a tire for $245 for the grader.
Sure, see.
80% on tires for the grader, 80% tire left was $185. So if the membership knows what we need, who are the contacts?
Who do we get? If everybody knew about it, how do
you
get
it's called my key to what's going on this year, and it's called communication with the membership. That's where it goes. Joe has a man that has worked on our graders and Kubotas in the past. He's willing to switch out, give me 3 or 4 days in the cabin, I'll come down and I will to do the maintenance. And this man's already been here and worked on them in the past with Vance here.
And Candy, it's wonderful because you're involved and you're there and you see what's happening, and then that makes you more involved. But you bring in the meetings too, and you're not. But everybody doesn't come, and they say, okay, we're here, and then they say, oh, I see what you need, but they're not all going to read it.
We're going to be doing things differently, and we're going to be looking at those items. What do the people have contact, and who do we need to contact? And I'm just saying, that's why tractor grader repairs. And the committees that we have formed, they're going to be different than they were in the past, so we're trying to work through that.
So at any rate, based upon that kind of logic, and there are some things that I did that in my suggested budget that we haven't done before. We spent money last year for bad debt that wasn't in the budget, and so I put in $1,000 for bad debt simply because the board, I think, needs to have the flexibility of being able to address people's needs if they feel so inclined. There are some things that I think we can do to reduce the expenditures that are here, but this is what seems to be a typical base budget, and it comes out to be about $125,000. Well, whether you use Shauna's $106,000 for likely assessment or income, or the budget of $110,000, either one of those numbers is substantially below $125,000. And that's why I'm saying I don't think we can pull off some of these revenues and push them into a capital improvement fund. We need to look at one-time monies. Mm-hmm. We need to look at there is a small amount, $4,000 or $5,000, but that could go like that if you had major repairs,
generator
necessary, or generator, or a well go down, something like that. So there's just not a lot of maneuvering room in here for capital improvements. As strongly as I am committed to the idea of a capital improvement budget, I think we have to look outside these typical revenues in order to fund it, either through enhanced revenue some other way, special assessments, if the need is great enough, and I'm not necessarily proposing that, but we just need to look at other places. So, again, I have some specific suggestions on what we should do to change this base budget, but this was more of a talking document. I've also grouped it then by the activity area, showing you what the revenue is and the expenses associated with cabins, equipment, horses, livestock, etc. And so you can see down on the bottom of the last page where, you know, how much these activities are costing us net in this proposed budget. And you can see that the most expensive thing that we do is run the cabins. You know, it's costing us $15,000 above what we bring in. Where we're making the money is on livestock this year. And that's obviously highly, it's got all the problems we've already talked about. But anyway.
And I think another thing that you had requested was, and I will incorporate another part of the agenda, was we did take the tour of the area, and it was called the field trip, October 15th. And there were some real issues that we needed, I felt it needed to be addressed in terms of it's not just a nice thing that needs to be done. It has to be done by looking at the ranch cabin, the ranch house. Larry had asked Barbara, me, and I asked Larry to put together some ideas. What kind of money, equipment, labor would it cost to complete that siding on the side of the ranch cabin? Barbara, you've got some figures, don't you?
Well, I don't know the labor-wise. I don't know how much labor would cost. If that's Larry on that one, but as far as the material goes, I haven't seen it.
Because Larry had said, okay, let's put a wish list together. Some of those things, that was very important. Another thing that was very important was, if you haven't seen the laundry room, I mean, it's got a buckle in the back, the wall is kind of, it's sinking in the middle. I mean, that's not something that, oh, hopefully it'll make it through the winter. What kinds of ideas do we have in terms of what kind of money would it cost to...
Is that a concrete floor in there?
Yes. When you sent me that, I started trying to remember and think, what kind of floor is it? Because that's a small enough building. I mean, you can jack that thing up and...
Put something under it. That's
what we have to do is jack it up and put a new laundry under it.
I'll go ahead and take her up.
Can I take the radiator hood off of an old vehicle and pull cut that away from it?
Lay the radiator down, yeah.
As I say, when we look at the whole budget, is there something that, like the Red Reservoir, that we need to have addressed right now, like some of the moving of the dirt, et cetera, that needs to be done? Are these things that we should include as part of our capital improvement, things that need to be done? Barbara and Larry, any of those that you saw them too, didn't you, Larry?
No,
I don't know how much longer it's even going
to
last.
I have to just laugh about this because I have been doing this for several years and I brought this up every single year. And so it's not like this is the first year it's been discussed, Candy.
I know.
Our laundry room has been that way 3 years, 4 years at least. you know, it's getting worse and worse.
You can see the, you can see it now. Right. Walk inside.
Yeah. It's just interesting how sight changes your opinion and you suddenly becomes more important. And I think that's what we've been through the most on the field trip. And that's why I feel like it needs to be a very high priority that the members of the board go on these field trips, because when you actually see it, it sticks in your mind. I said it and said it and said it and just doesn't stick, you know.
That's really important. Like I said, I don't believe that we're going to be finished at this meeting going over this, and that's why I want those people that can bring us some estimates. What is it going to cost to get this repaired? I don't care what happened 3-4 years ago.
I
wasn't involved at this point. I am now. But what I'm saying is we need to look at that. We need to look at the siding on the ranch house. And another thing that's important we didn't get around to look at, and I understand is just as much of a detriment, is the barn. The old barn. I understand the one side has been fixed, but we need something else on the other side. I'm not
the
in construction.
The board saw that a couple months before that. You guys watched the film, look at that.
Yeah.
So you saw that. Yes, the old barn is another thing. There's also a lot of work that needs to be done in cabin 9. Cabin 10 needs to be skirted. There's some work that needs to be done in the garden cabin around the bottom of it and underneath it. There's some work that needs to be done in cabin 6. There's a roof that needs to be replaced on cabin 2 very, very badly. I mean, there's a hole in the ceiling and the roof of those cabins, too. You can see daylight around a couple of spots. And so we need that done. You know, there's a new roof that you put on cabin 3. The dirt needs to be moved back from the back of cabin 3 and the back of cabin 4 before the, you know, the wash comes down and runs under and does any more damage. There's a floor that's buckled in cabin 3. I mean, I could go on forever on the list, you guys. But maybe field trips will make you see what I'm talking about and make you remember it. But I'm just saying is that we've worked towards these goals, and it's taken a long time. And as Larry very well pointed out, assessments will not cover it. Assessments will not do it. On my actual today, as of November 25th of this year, from January 1st till November 25th of this year, we have brought into our bank account $145,525 without the $15,000. So it does have that $5,000, but not the $15,000. Okay, what I'm trying to say is, and we're still pension. Okay? $106,000 is just not going to cut it. So we either got to do like Val says, we've got to come up with some income somewhere else, or we've got to use these other forms of income that we have been using and continue to work with them in that idea. And yes, if we want to have a capital improvement budget, I'm 100% behind it, but I agree with Larry Walters in the fact that right now, our capital improvement budget is going to have to go slow. We don't, unless you guys want to suddenly do a special assessment on everybody, we don't have the funds and we don't
just
have
fire.
Okay, for instance, here's another thing. Last February, you guys that were in this room that were sitting in the budget meeting last February, did we not have a big upsetting discussion about, I want to budget $10,000 under wildlife. I believe that we can increase it. You weren't there. But I believe that we can increase the wildlife income by $10,000. I want you to put $10,000 in that hole right there. And I and a couple of other bear members objected to that. And so we instead put $5,000. I want you to look that we only had $3,293.19 come in from wildlife this year. Regardless of what the budget says, we only had that much money come in. So why do you want to say, I want to put $10,000 in on the horse ride? Okay, that's great. But how are you going to get it?
With the right wrangler.
But that's the problem, Val.
Yes, I know.
That is the problem. If you have the right wrangler, we wouldn't have a problem.
That's right. So,
you know, if you have somebody who has the time and the expertise and all that, the point is that you
I don't know if the wrangler is the problem. Not the wrangler. You have the best wrangler in the world right here.
No.
The program. It's a different program. It's not the wrangler. It's the program.
That's true.
It doesn't matter what numbers we plug into these slots. We have to do a program
that gets
to that point.
But you need the program before you can actually start budgeting the money for it.
There you go.
Exactly. You've got to have the program, but you can't stick this fictitious number of $10,000 or $5,000 in for horses or for riding or whatever, and then think you're going to come and meet up to that. You've got to come up and put a realistic number like Larry Walters has done here, and then try and hope we can come above it, you know? To be right honest with you guys, Sean already knows this because I've already mentioned to her and Larry, and I think I mentioned it pretty well all of you. One of the reasons that all these budgeted items are higher than what a lot of those areas are higher than what we actually budgeted is I knew that there was some money there. You know, to a certain point. I mean, even I didn't have control over those greater expenses or this or that or something else. But on the cabin maintenance, we knew we sold that lot. you know? And so we did the roof on garden cabin. We did several of those things. So that brought that garden, that cabin maintenance budget way above what, you know, had been budgeted. On the fish, Dale and I discussed the fact that, you know, that we weren't going to be able to get the fish and everything. I had forgotten we raised it to 500. I mean, Laura's stuck, but I was thinking 1,000. We were thinking we were raising it to 500. You know, there's several items like that that went on, you know, and I guess the whole thing is, like you guys said at the very beginning, our budget is not like a legal document that the city is required. It's something that we're supposed to work within. Now, do we want to make it a legal document that we cannot go over it, then we need to change our working attitude and the way we've been doing things. But this is the way it's been done for years. We just kind of use it as a guideline to try to stay with it. You see what I'm saying? But, I mean, if you look down through here, a lot of these things, the reason that they are over what was budgeted is because we knew where our money was. We knew what we had and where we were going. However, at the rate we were going, I was getting panicky when we kept saying, we need to buy this, we need to do this, we need to do that. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that we do have the money for this. We're going to run out, especially whenever they started saying, well, there's all the money from that lot's not going into the funds. Then I really got panicked, you know, back in June or July, whenever that was, we had that meeting. And but as you can see now, I feel like between really tightening up, getting really conscious of it, and then also acquiring some of that money, all but 9,000 of it, you know, suddenly we're back in good shape here again, you know?
I'd like to throw that just in as we, as a general principle, would like to suggest one other thing about this budget as we go forward, and that is, I think we unfairly and unreasonably tie Barbara's hands as a manager by saying, with some of the categories that we have. I would suggest, for example, if we look at the cabins, if we as a board set a budget for cabins, and whether it's the one that, we'll just take for instance, that it's the one that I've suggested here, which says we expect about $6,800 in income, we expect about $22,250 in expenses. If we set a budget for expenses of $22,250 for cabins, and we hand that budget to Barbara and say, Barbara, as long as you don't go over $22,250, we're not going to ask you whether you spent the money on supplies, laundry, or propane.
You know what? That would be a huge help. Because that's exactly what, in my mind, that's the way I have done it anyway, you know?
And then she doesn't have to come back to the board every 10 minutes for, you know, can I spend an extra $100 here if I save it over here. You know, let her do the managing. Let's hold her accountable for the total. Let's hold her accountable for the product, but let's give her the flexibility to manage in each of these categories. So we're budgeting. We set a budget amount in each of the categories. If she's going to go over that, then yes, she needs to come back and talk to us. But as long as she's staying in that budget, then let's give her the flexibility to manage. That's my suggestion for how we approach this.
Comments from the board? Comments from the membership?
I think it's a good idea in hiring her to manage so let her do her job. It's very simple.
And what categories are you speaking specifically in terms of saying we have X number of dollars and Barb work within that? Are we talking cabins, equipment?
I'm talking about cabins, equipment, horses, livestock, roads, water, wildlife, recreation.
Every one of them. You have to.
Everyone.
I wouldn't include necessarily the last one because that's sort of the catch-all category. But, you know, we could even talk about that. There's a lot of stuff in that last category, but it's pretty general. So, you know, we could even do that. We could even say, okay, $70,000 for that last category.
I'm going to ask you this. What are you putting in here for? We've had management fees at $30,000, but what happened to this one? That's $10,000 a month.
That's the management
of the
bill. Uh-oh. I knew you said
administration and management, $8,400.
Yeah, so you came for the bill. Something on Shauna that you didn't have on yours is the president's pay was $2,400 a year on that.
Right, I don't have that one either. Mm-hmm. Which is on which line is that?
It's on Larry's. It's under admin and management.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is...
Everything is under admin and management except for the management.
And so why do we have accounting a category?
Because, well, part of my reasoning there was I think it's important for us to recognize what we're not paying for anymore. Because of the way we've done
it.
We don't have salaries, we don't have accounting, we don't have summer help.
But we do have accounting. accounting is the bookkeeping, which actually should be put in accounting instead of into that one.
No, the fee is
in the administrative management. That's where it is. But we're not, we don't have to worry about workman's comp. We don't have to worry about payroll expenses because all of those things are being paid, but they're being paid out of the management fee that Barbara gets. And I think that's important for us to remember, which is why I left them on the page.
I don't figure that because you're doing management fee right here. That's a management fee. So administration management fee, there's still accounting right there.
Not entirely. There's other stuff in it, too.
Do we just simply need to rename some of these to make it make more sense for everybody? Is that the whole problem?
I would like to have it spelled out.
So you have to, do we need to have the areas that we're no longer paying out? Do they need to be on here or incorporated in something else, another category?
Well, I think Shauna, maybe Shauna's question is, maybe I can help with Shauna's understanding it. There's two areas. There's the management at the ranch, on the ground, you know, that.
And that's the management fee. That's on-site salaries, that's workman's comp, that's
all that stuff up there. And then there's what was being done by Karen Jacobson and Randy Brown. That is a taking of the reservation, billing for accounts receivable, paying the accounts payable, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, the paperwork.
Isn't that bookkeeping and accounting?
That's under the admin and management, yes.
But what else is going to do?
Well, no, accounting is an old thing. He's saying that he took it out because we used to have a fee that was for accounting, and then we had one for reservations, and we had one for this, and we had one for that. We just lumped it into one thing, and one person was getting the money, and it went under that admin and management.
So prison fee and all that stuff is categorized in that one?
Yeah.
I mean, that needs to be spelled out someplace so that you know what's in that category.
Well,
for my purpose, I'd like to know. If I'm doing the bookkeeping, wouldn't that be good for you?
As long as I know that it's published.
But I'm doing the bookkeeping, and I'd like to have it spelled out. Is that bad?
I assume it's spelled out in the contract.
No, I don't see it. I haven't seen it spelled out that way in anything. So that's why I'm saying to you, if I'm supposed to be doing this, then I need to know what goes into what category. If I just look at one and they're all lumped in there, how do I know what's in it?
Well, when you signed the check, Shauna, it said right on it, on the $600 goes to admin and management, the $3,000 goes to management fees, the $200 goes to admin and management.
Okay, but so to me, I still need a listing of what those are in those categories. So that when you put them in there, that I know that those are they're included into that.
You want it on this report?
I would like to have one on the report.
I have a thing that has all the details, like because your laundry, you got more than one thing going into laundry. You got more than one thing going into laundry.
And see, that would help me immensely
but
to figure out what's going into
but
each category.
Detail for you? Do you need everybody? To
No. I'm just asking. Did I need to know that what's put in it?
Okay.
You know.
So there may need another backup sheet that breaks
down
there are
the categories that there's multiple
going into
things,
each
right.
category.
If there's multiple things in that category, I'd like to know what was going into that category.
That paper that I printed out that showed auto.
Yes.
If you look at that, you'll see right on the other column right there, it says gasoline, or it says repair of the autos, or it says purchase of the bill of the, you know, used vehicle. It has all of those broken down in that one auto that's sent down there, right on that paper that I gave you.
So I need, but I need one for each category that's like that, so that I know.
Okay, that would be a
thing.
Lot of paper, but that would print out every single thing that we bought this whole year. But that's okay.
I just let you know.
Is that all not
particularly?
It should.
If she's got the program, I can do that. I just need that.
Well,
I think we'd all like it.
I'd just like to know what's on them.
It's too much detail for me.
You guys, we're talking a ream of paper. You're talking every single transaction that we've done.
No.
And you're talking.
No, you're saying automobile maintenance and repair, I guess, and whatever you put into the automobile. That's what I'd like to see.
Oh, you mean the total of the you want?
I don't need every. She just wants to know
these categories are a compilation of subcategories.
Yeah, the president's. That one administration is different too because that's what I need to know. Is that where you're lumping it? I don't know where to find it. If I go back and look and I say, okay, that one, where did they come up with that number? Because you got the president's payment in there, you got the bookkeeping in there, you got the you know, the fee, the website reservation. I need to know what's in there so that I'm not categorizing into something else that you're not. I need to see where you're putting them so that I know where.
You don't necessarily want the actual figures in terms
no,
of...
No, I'm just
going.
Asking for it, yeah.
I think that was different than what you were saying.
I don't need every payment to win in there because you already categorized it, but you put it in there and I need to know what you're putting in each category.
Okay, each time you sign a check, that's what's on that stuff. A lot of times I start pointing that out so you'll understand. Whenever you sign a check, you know how on the check stuff it breaks it down below it? Like,
well, I understand that, Barb, but I still want a chart of accounts. I want to know what's in that account.
Okay.
It only has to be done, basically.
It doesn't have to be, the fender for the truck. Just auto parts or...
No, but I mean, but when it says fender for the truck, it also says auto expense.
Right,
your check, it probably has your chart of accounts number on it, right?
Well, it does.
Cross-reference it, so you should be able to look at the number on the check stuff.
But I don't have a chart of accounts. I don't have a chart of accounts.
You can see. Do a chart of accounts.
Right, there you go. That's exactly what I want. I need to know what's in the chart of accounts. Yeah, that's all I need. I mean, I know you guys already done this for a few years, but I'd just like to see because if I looked at something, I don't know what it is by just guessing. I have to guess. And I wouldn't know.
Is that what you were meaning?
So.
Yes.
Okay.
And you said you didn't want it. You've worked with it, you know. And I sat with Barbara, too, trying to go over all the stuff, and this was included in this, and this is inclusive. I mean, just for the sake of organization.
I think the key word is chart of accounts.
Chart of accounts, yes.
Well, to me, it would be confusing to look down here and see nothing in accounting, and I'd say,
why?
We're paying somebody something for accounting. Why is that not there?
That's my question. I don't understand.
Okay, but Larry had said that he had included it because at one time we did have an expense in that category. We do not any longer. So the question is that something the board wants to do? Continue to keep it there if there's nothing going out?
Well, we still do have an expense. We're still paying somebody to do accounting.
Well, but it's included in another category.
Right. And that's what we need. That's what needs to be drawn out so we know.
We're saying
where it's at.
But she's going to get us a chart right to account.
Yeah,
the only thing, my part of accounts doesn't show state unemployment insurance where this comp, and I appreciate what Larry did.
Well, he took it from another one. He took it from the old account, and he just carried them forward is what he did because that's how you do an audit. So he's looking at what was already listed before, and then what comes the next year. So all I'm saying is, what did we lump together so that we, some of them have been moved because we did a whole different program. When you came on board, that's not how they had it. We already had a bookkeeper. We had somebody to take reservations. We had a secretary. We had all those administrative things, and they did. So they had them down here. He just carried those categories forward. Now when you lumped them together, we just need to know what went into which category so we know where those totals went. Where those categories, we could drop some of these out, but we have to understand why. Where do they go? Maybe they're obsolete and we don't need them anymore. But
this is not what's on my computer. Larry's done this.
I know that.
I'm just saying, I appreciate what Larry has done here. In fact, that he's trying to explain to you guys so that you, and it's been explained numerous times, but somehow you've missed it. But the point is, management fee is not some money that I take home. It's paying a lot of things that before the ranch was paying individually. And I think Larry listed those out there so that you would remember that in your mind, to remember that that's what is paying. And I appreciate that fact. The fact that accounting is listed on there, the only reason she listed it on there is to remind you that we were paying an accounting fee before, but now it's under this other category. It's not something that's in my computer like this. My computer doesn't have it listed like this.
Is that how you're doing it?
That's exactly why Larry
did it. These are all here for.
These were expenses that we had before that we no longer incur.
Okay, so you're saying that all of these things actually are listed into this management?
Yes.
All these are
yes.
Part of that?
That's correct.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you, because that's what I didn't understand.
Yep.
So I'm wondering why these are all blank at a point where we have them. So this is a heading, is what that is, right?
Well, the management fee includes
all of these
all
things.
Of the stuff done under the law. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's good to have them there to show, like Barbara said, and you pointed out, this shows what the ranch is benefiting. I mean, both these things are still being covered.
That's right.
Okay.
But without knowing.
But not knowing, looking at that, how would I know that all those things are included in that?
smaller type thing. Look at it. It's smaller.
Where?
Subcategory.
Where?
Older management too.
Are these are smaller?
Yes, they are.
They are a little bit smaller.
Accounting and administrative and management are the same.
Yeah, they all look the same to me.
No, no, no. I'm looking specifically at management fees and the subcategories.
Okay, I understand your point.
Right.
I just didn't understand that. That's what you did down there.
Okay. A little minus sign out, Gary. All those categories have a little minus sign out.
Go under the...
Well, okay, but look at administration. Look at administration management. And if a county's included in it, it's above it. It's not below it. So if you're in a subcategory, it would actually be listed below it, like he has here, but only it would be indented. So if you do, you're not. Okay, sorry.
There's ambiguity about what goes where.
I didn't understand it because I do a lot of secretary work. That doesn't do it for me. That doesn't show it to me.
Well,
maybe
no,
I'm blind.
You guys just taking up 30 minutes of my time, but I'm never going to ever get back. And so I'm going to try to make this real clear to you. Shauna, why can't you get a list from Barbara on all these things, and then you put it into a format that you completely understand? It can be yours to keep. We don't care. I don't care as a member, but as long as it helps you understand it, you get yourself your own little cheat sheet.
Exactly.
Okay? And see, I'm not very good at math, but I was really great at hydraulics. I could calculate the how much water was going to come out of a hose line 2,000 feet away because I memorized it all, okay? Because I couldn't calculate it with pen and paper, but I could memorize it. So you put yourself together a cheat sheet, and let's move on. I mean, let's do it.
It seems like Larry's a really good resource, and this is really detailed. So if you have questions, maybe this week we could get together.
Exactly, exactly, because he's audited these for the last couple or 3 years. So he doesn't know that. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what do we need to do to prepare ourselves for an acceptance of the budget for the next meeting? Are there figures that need to be changed, adjusted, and then make some minor adjustments the next meeting and accept a budget for the next working year? And that's my next question.
It seems to me that there are a couple other numbers that aren't on this sheet that we need to bear in mind. One is that there's $29,000 in the bank,
yes,
less whatever we spend through the rest of this year, and it's spent this morning.
Right.
There's also $9,000 in the capital improvement fund. So it's not like we're completely broke on capital improvements. We do have some money in that fund. My suggestion would be on the $29,000 that we not touch that, because we know there's going to be contingencies that come up that are unanticipated, and we ought to have some kind of cash reserve to carry us through. But the $9,000, I think we could talk about what kinds of projects we might want to undertake in the next year with that. And whether we make that decision today or hold off on the capital improvements until next time, and when we've got lists that we can work from and better numbers on what costs are likely to be and priorities and that sort of stuff, that's fine. I think it would be productive if we could settle on the what we reasonably expect as income for the next year. And we've had some discussion about what we should expect from assessments and some of these other income categories. If we could get that far, then we would at least have some idea of what the total needs to look like. And then we can, depending on how much time you want to spend today, start working through some of the expense categories or defer that till the 10th, which would be some those.
What could be your suggestion?
Well, it's noon now. There's a lot to do when you start working through the expenses. I think the income could go reasonably quickly.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the board what your plans are in terms of, can you say another hour to work through that? Should we take a break? I'll come back.
That depends. Is there a restroom in this building?
Yes, there. The other thing we need to consider is we need to get out of here by 1:30.
Okay.
So to stay another 4 or 5 hours.
No, I'm saying another hour. If he says look over the income sheet, have that part done.
I
think we could do the income really quickly.
Yeah, I think if we could.
But the restroom is straight up, and we make a little curve up there.
Top of the ladder.
Top of the stairs. Mention my name.
Okay, he may be one of the ones to answer this question with regards to the money that's in our accounts right now and through the end of the year. I'm a dummy as far as knowing how we're set up as a company for tax situation. I know past years
we've
always tried to spend anything we could, even if we're buying something for next year.
But then his comment then was basically anything left over, putting it into capital.
We're going to be taxed on the capital improvements. That's a new gun. It's going to be a chunk of money, and I'm talking to the tune of several thousand dollars. We're
going to
have to pay in taxes. Because
so is it wise putting in $15,000 from the capital improvement?
No, it doesn't matter. We just
we're going to get taxed on either way.
Either direction.
If
that's
we have
it. That's one of the reasons we haven't done this. That's like when you were
it's expended
saying,
out.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, I've made a point to get it down just as low as we possibly can. We bought things for the next year. We bought, you know, propane.
Prepaid. $7,000 or $10,000 worth of.
Unless you were in the wish list.
Well, but they're particularly insistent that we're going to keep that money in the capital improvement, that we're not going to use that.
I feel better. I feel better after 2 hours now.
I don't think we're necessarily wanting to hoard that money in the capital improvement account. We wanted to protect it to go toward capital expenditures. And if we've got something we want to do, or we can.
Question on the floor is, if we leave the $29,000 in there as taxable money, if we turn it into the capital improvements, there is still taxing on that. So if we say we have $9,000, in reality we have less than that in capital improvement due to the taxes. So
is that 12 taken out of that? There's
going to be at least 12, probably.
Well,
12 out of the 29,000.
29, for whatever is left.
Okay, so we need to.
So, yeah, we're going to have a chunk of taxes this year. You know, we're going to have, what?
I don't know what it is.
So the working figure.
We're going to be paying taxes on what?
$24,000.
It's going to be several thousand dollars with the tax.
Because we sold a lot.
Yeah, unless, the only way we can get away with that, Larry, is to spend the money.
That's what we've done.
That's why we are called a non-profit organization. That's what
Nile
and I have expenses. That's why we've done that. That's why exactly why Nile and I have done that for the last 3 or 4 years. At the end of the year, close to the end of the year, 1 year we bought the trash trailer. Remember that? We bought the trash trailer, the hydraulic trash trailer depot.
We bought that on the 31st of December.
On the 31st of December, and we did that because we were low. I mean, we had some extra $13,000, and I called all
the staples on the 31st.
You know? I mean, that's what we've done, and I'm saying there's a couple of years we'd give a Brett Robinson money early. Paid him in advance. How do you think it came out and did some work?
It didn't work.
I'm saying we keep this to ourselves, we divide the money
up. Okay, that's one thing.
It's only 5 hours away, right?
Yeah. But you physically have to spend the money.
Yeah, it's got to be out of your account.
Yeah, well, but you see, we don't have to spend the capital money on maintenance to just to spend it. The capital account could transfer it to the maintenance account, and then the maintenance account could buy a new trash truck.
Right, but well, whatever, you've got to spend the money.
But there needs to be an accounting out of the capital account.
Of where it went.
Yep.
Oh, it just had to transfer. It's just a paper trail.
Yep. And it'll come back to the capital account.
And I think that going along the same line, I think there needs to be a paper trail, and I will make sure that there is. $5,000 goes into the capital improvement account from that money that came in, and then whatever amount to $2,500 or $3,500 goes back out, you know, whatever $2,000 goes back out. So if there is a paper trail, even though it's just shuffling dollars and dollars and dollars, it doesn't matter. You need to have a trail.
Sorry? I mean, Taylor?
That makes sense. It's to Barbara. For your capital improvement account, what you could do is take all that money you've got right now, take it down to Zion's Bank, apply it to our loan down there, pay it off as much as possible, and then the money that you're paying out each year in factor payments, turn around,
put it
each
back
year,
in,
put that back into your capital.
Make your payment to yourself.
And that's, It's a good suggestion, too, because our loan at State Bank is on a floating interest rate, and do you know that that same thing is up to 10% again?
Almost
10%, 9.75. They have raised it every single
time. What's our balance on that, Barb?
It's more than, I think, what money we got, but we'd pay way down. Well, it'd be nice to see them be out of debt with the rest, you know.
That's a good idea.
And if we should need it, our debt would be down to where we could reborrow and stay within all of our set as guidelines.
Well, we're getting closer.
But I mean,
we
could drop it out.
I think, personally, it's a great idea, but I think that's a decision that needs to be deferred till next month when we've got the rest of the picture on the table, and there's still time at that point.
So it's steered back to income, in other words?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's a great idea. We just need to table that till next time. Okay, where are we now, Chairman?
We are on looking at the income.
Income. Okay.
Uh-huh. And we have approximately an hour to work on that.
All right.
I got one more.
Can we make it
to the regular agenda here? You've got Fred Searle.
Yeah.
Oh,
on
there.
You got to get Fred taken care of.
Oh, indeed. Is there anything else?
Can we,
I'm going to get as soon as possible, next spring will be busted. He wrote a number.